David L'Esperance is an attorney. He is the managing director of L'Esperance and Associates. He is a leader in the world of taxation and citizenship advisory, and he is back on Lifeblood. Welcome back to the show, David.
Thanks for inviting me back, George.
Yeah, excited to have you back on. Refresh our memory. Tell us a little bit about your personal lives, more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Sure. I try not to be an international man of mystery. I'm a Canadian who lives in Poland. That's simply because I had somebody fall asleep on me in an airplane about 12 years ago. And when she woke up, I said, well, now that we've slept together, maybe we should go out on a date. And that has resulted in marriage and soon to be 10-year-old children. I basically look at how resident citizenship and domicile impact families around the world. We look at how it impacts them from tax, family law, mobility, sovereign risk, et cetera. And in our last interview, I threw out the somewhat dangerous for a Canadian to say to an American audience analogy of imagine you live in a wildfire. And what are those wildfire concerns? And we talked about for Americans, they can be a combination of things from anti-Semitism, anti-Muslim, racism, political polarization, mass shootings. I'm a child of the auto industry. I grew up in Windsor, Ontario. My father would work in Detroit. So I grew up when it was Murder City. But back then it was, you know, two drug dealers shooting at each other with Saturday Night Specials. Now you've got, you know, people walking in with AR-15s into theaters and bowling alleys and synagogues and churches. And it's just a different world. And another is the wildfire concern that a lot of my clients have is tax policy, kind of tax the rich policy. We are doing this interview at the beginning of a wild week last week when Super Tuesday, the Republican and Democrat candidates have now kind of solidified. And we had a State of the Union address where President Biden again laid down the marker of taxing unrealized capital gains. And just hours ago, he put forth his budget proposals with the same thing. So when you're in a wildfire zone, what do you do? Well, clients say, I'm going to fight the fire. I'm going to vote. I'm going to register. I'm going to donate to super PACs and candidates. And that's all very noble and very good things to do. But no fire marshal drops a crew into a hot zone without having an exit strategy. So we look at how second residences and citizenships act as kind of fire insurance. And then we match that in with a fire escape plan, which tends to fall into three different types. One I'll call the go bag option. Oh my God, there's been a hurricane hitting my home in Florida. I need to bug out for, you know, a few months to Canada, Portugal, New Zealand, wherever. Panama, but I'm not going to be there long enough to become tax resident in that other jurisdiction. Then the second is, oh my God, insert name of the political party you didn't vote for, got in. I want to go and live abroad for 4 years, and maybe I'll give my kids a experience of education or living abroad. So they're going to be Americans living in another jurisdiction. And again, if that's a taxing jurisdiction, how the interaction of U.S. and that foreign jurisdiction's tax are, because the U.S. has this unique citizenship-based taxation. And the final is kind of full-blown expatriations. I'm going to legally and permanently leave the U.S. tax system behind and all the kind of integrated tax and immigration strategies involved in all of that.
Appreciate that. I feel like as I'm getting older, as we all are, David, that things always feel like they're getting worse. Are things really actually getting worse this time? Is this more palpable than it ever has been?
I've been doing this since 1990, and this is as chaotic as I've ever seen the world. This 2024 is an election year in much of the world. We've seen everything from Taiwanese elections, the economy of different countries are in collapse. We're seeing changes of regimes. We're seeing wars in the Ukraine and in Israel and Gaza. It is very chaotic, particularly, you know, it's an election year in the United States. And as I've been telling clients, normally in an election year, you look for the October surprise. But this year, it's the surprise of the day that ends with Y. I mean, it's every day something new. And if somebody was foolish enough to kind of bet what the outcome of the November elections would be, I would say I think you are delusional and or a huge risk taker. So it's really equipping my clients with optionality for whatever's going to happen. We could have a Republican sweep of POTUS in the two houses of Congress. We could just as easily have a Democratic sweep. There are a number of, as Donald Rumsfeld used to say, known knowns and known unknowns. What are going to be the outcomes of various court cases, etc.? And then there's a number of unknown unknowns. Could there be a health issue? Could there be another war? Could there, you know, there's just so many things going on. The political winds are blowing that wildfire around, and it's impossible to conclude where it's going to end up by the end of the year.
Optionality is a wonderful term and very prudent to, it's just better to have more options than it is to have certainly less, and no options is not an enviable place to be. There's so many different things to be talking about here, and probably the most important would be just a tax perspective, but let's assume that you have clients that come into your office. One is a Muslim, one is a Jew, they're married. And they say, we're uncomfortable in London, we're uncomfortable in the United States. Is there a place that they could go right now?
Sure. I mean, the difference between the United States and elsewhere is that the bigots are well-armed. Whether you're worried about anti-Semitism or anti-Muslim, and whether you're in Toronto or London or, you know, anywhere not currently in a war zone, it is going to be a lower level of threat. As one of my clients recently said, yeah, there's anti-Semitism rising everywhere, but again, the anti-Semites in the U.S. have AR-15s. And so that was kind of a real concern. And I have, again, I started going to the Gulf in 1990, so I have a large Muslim clientele. I've been having clients do Aliyah for a number of years. I have had a number of Israeli clients who were out in the streets before October 7th, kind of protesting against Netanyahu. And the concerns are still there. I have a number of clients who were kind of Israeli tech founders, a lot of whom met during their time in the IDF, and who were called up as reservists. And I'm still talking to them. And they said, look, I believe in the state of Israel. I, you know, sworn an oath to my fellow servicemen. I will serve my duty, but I don't want to raise my kids in a war zone. And I said I was out protesting against Netanyahu before, and he doesn't have a plan that I agree with for if and when this ever ends. So, you know, it is time for me to get some optionality and a backup plan or a fire escape plan.
Fair enough. I appreciate that.
And one of the things, George, I wanted to say is just because you have fire insurance and a fire escape plan doesn't mean that you need to trigger them. It just means that if you kind of, you know, to beat this analogy to death, smell the smoke, you've got the option of leaving. Mm-hmm. Because the damage, whether that's fiscally or to your family's wealth or well-being, would be significant when you consider the premium of getting that fire insurance and the fire escape plan. I mean, there's just no comparison.
It strikes me as important as buying a life insurance policy or disability insurance policy. So,
yeah. The other thing is, I may have mentioned this in our previous interview. And I always have to say, I swear my siblings and I didn't go out nightclubbing looking for Europeans to dance with. But my sister married a Latvian, my brother married an Italian, I married a Scotswoman and a Pole, and my younger sister married an Irishman. And the good thing about the fire insurance is not only you can use it as defensive, it's also an opportunity. You know, my nieces and nephews and children have done everything from kind of study, gap years, working abroad. And it's something, of course, that they're now passing on to and will pass on to their children in the future. So the decisions that, you know, our ancestors made, you know, generations ago in coming to North America had a profound effect, not just on their lives, but on all the subsequent generations. And the same thing, you know, the decisions that clients are making in this area will have a profound effect on future generations along with their own lives.
Appreciate that. In terms of unrealized capital gains, do you have a sense of what percentage of Americans that would touch?
Well, if we look particularly at what has been called the Billionaire Tax Act, first off, it's defined not at a billion, but at 100 million. And it's quite onerous. And so I just, there was a court case the Supreme Court heard in December, expecting a decision in June or July, called the Moore case, which really looked at the taxation of unrealized capital gains. Is that constitutional? And if the court overturns the lower court decision and says it's unconstitutional, well, you've just eliminated one of the major barriers to expatriation, which is the deemed disposition exit tax. So you're going to see an increase in people leaving then. If they say it is constitutional, then you brought a constitutional basis for the billionaire tax. And it is quite popular. And so I've had clients go, oh, well, I don't think that'll really happen. Again, let's put it in the insurance analogy. In order for the billionaire tax to occur, two things need to happen. Number one is Moore needs to decide that that's constitutional. Number two, the Democrats have to hit the trifecta in November. Let's say that both of those things happening is 25%. Mm-hmm. Given the tax hit, the damage to your fiscal house, I mean, would you, if there was a 25% chance that a fire was going to hit your house, would you get fire insurance and a fire escape plan?
Yes.
So that, again, shows just the logic of doing this. I was once accused by somebody of being looking at the world like Mr. Spock, which she thought it was an insult. I took it as untrue, but aspirational. And if you look at the world kind of, you know, in that view, a lot of these practical steps are quite logical and, you know, could mean significant tax or, you know, avoiding other very damaging things to your family's, you know, wealth and welfare.
Thank you. It's a unique opportunity for us on the show here and us in the United States to speak with somebody who's actually living in Poland. President Biden made mention that Putin was going to continue marching across Europe. Do people in Poland, do y'all think that you're next?
It's a concern. I live in a port city called Gdynia, where the Polish Navy is there. And we have a nice view of the harbor. And every morning we see the Polish Navy ships coming out into the harbor. What they're doing is getting all the signal ops from Kaliningrad, which is an outpost of Russia. Also, I have some contacts in the Polish military in NATO. And, you know, I said, is Latvia and Lithuania and Estonia, the Baltic states, which were former Soviet Union, you know, are you concerned about a Russian invasion? And his response was, the Russians and what army? Because one of the things that has turned out in the invasion of the Ukraine is that the Russian army, you know, wasn't that operational. Modern armies are, you know, highly technical things. And if you don't maintain the 5,000 tanks, you end up having 1,000 operational tanks. And Russia is, you know, being able to manufacture, you know, artillery shells and things like that. But when you're going against a very sophisticated army, that being said, I don't want to be here when it happens.
That's a great point.
This is also Gdansk, Gdynia is also the place where arguably the Second World War started on, you know, September 1st, 1939, when a German warship, you know, started bombing a place called Westerplatte. It's kind of Poland's Alamo. And the brave Poles held out for about 9 days and turned off German Marines and all kinds of things. And they finally surrendered. And I was touring it, this site, pre-COVID. And there was a Polish-American fellow from Chicago who naturally kind of gravitated towards me because I spoke English. And as you get at every tourist site around the world, there's a very earnest history major who's your tour guide, and talked about how the brave Poles held out and that the captain of the warship was so impressed that he let the commander keep his sword. And somebody asked, so what happened to them? Nine Poles that surrendered. Said, well, you know, turned them over to the SS and shot them. And the Polish-American guy said, yeah, my family left in 1938. Our family motto was, the pessimists left and lived, the optimists stayed and died. Mm. So again, you want to have the fire insurance, you want to have the fire escape plan, which I certainly do for my family. And, you know, we have the ability in a modern age, unlike 1939, to move out and move quickly.
That's a wonderful transition into how do we start that process of exploring fire insurance? And you laid out several different options, but certainly three, the go bag, a middle option, and then expatriation.
Well, it's really understanding what your concerns are and what your family needs are. I always tell clients, you know, I'll have clients that say, look, I've been sued, I've been audited, I'll go through a divorce, move me somewhere where there's no lawyers and no tax system. And so my kind of glib answer is, okay, we'll move you to Pitcairn Island. Only 38 people on earth have decided that I want schools, I want airports, I want housing, I want, you know, all these things. So it's really understanding what your needs are of all the family, because you've got to live it. Then really, you know, talking to a professional, looking at a deep dive as to what is your background. There are, if you Google second citizenships or second passports, you'll get a number of paid Google ads from what I call the usual suspects, who are paid commission driven, paid, salespeople, and they're pushing whatever product will pay them the highest commission. I had a client that I saved an enormous amount of money from. He had been sold by a salesperson, and I said, okay, well, you've got a very Irish last name. Would you happen to have a, you know, parent or grandparent who was born? Of course. And I said, well, I can get you that same citizenship that this guy was trying to sell you for a million euros. It was going to pay him about 100,000 euros in commission for, you know, 1/40th of the price. Oh, okay. That's great. But remember, it's not like you can dial 1-800, I am Irish, and a leprechaun going to deliver the passport to you. There's a process and the timing. And does that work in? So really having, you know, conflict free. I don't take commissions. In fact, if we have to go for a residence or citizenship by investment, I flow those commissions back to the client so they know I'm completely agnostic with it. But it's really kind of understanding what your concerns are, what your family needs are, and then getting in touch with professionals. And again, you don't just want to talk to a tax lawyer. You don't want to just talk to an immigration lawyer. You don't want to just, you want to have an integrated team that's going to put together, you know, get you the right fire insurance and put together a proper, you know, fire escape plan that fits all those needs and is operational when you determine if and when danger has gotten too close that you need to trigger it.
Makes sense. I love it. Well, David, thank you so much for coming back on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage in the process?
Well, you can find me on LinkedIn. It's David Lesperance, Lesperance. Also, my website is Lesperance Associates, plural.com. And you can see the contact details on both the LinkedIn and on the website. And you'll probably, I'm sure, put them in the show notes.
I absolutely will. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show David your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. And certainly never our intention to scare the bejesus out of you, but optionality and flexibility are key. And that's exactly what David's been talking about. So take the first step, reach out, and just start exploring fire insurance and figure out what's right for you and your family, so that you can be in that pessimist camp that, how does the saying go again, David?
Pessimist left and lived, optimist stayed and died.
Oh, maybe that's not the best way to close, but you certainly get the idea. Find David on LinkedIn and then lesperanceassociates.com and figure out what makes sense for you. Thanks again, David.
Thank you, George.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.